I don't know, Gary and Denise, looking at those pictures up there, it looks like we've had a lot of fun in San Carlos, haven't we? Kayaking and mountain climbing and biking and four-wheeling and stuff. It's been a privilege. Thank you for that tribute this morning. We don't deserve that, but we sure do appreciate it. You know, my next-door neighbor, God bless her, she sent me this and I just about died. I think it's kind of, although none of us are retiring, a priest was being honored at his retirement dinner after 25 years in the parish, and a leading local politician who was actually a member of the parish volunteered to give a little tribute to the priest. Well, the time came for that farewell dinner that night, and the politician got delayed, and he was late. So the priest thought, well, I'll get up and say a few words, so he got up, and he said, this is what he said. Well, they waited for the politician. He said, I got my first impression of the parish from the first confession that I heard there. I thought it had been assigned to a terrible place. The very first person who entered my confessional told me he had stolen a television set, and when questioned by the police, was able to lie his way out of it. He'd stolen money from his parents, embezzled from his employer, had an affair with his boss's wife, taken illegal drugs, and so forth. I was appalled, the priest said. But as the days went on, I learned that my people were not all like that, and I indeed had come to a fine parish full of good and loving people. Well, just as the priest finished that little talk, in walks the politician, and he goes right up to the podium. And of course, he was full of apologies at being late, and he immediately launched into his presentation. He said this, I will never forget the first day our parish priest arrived, said the politician. In fact, I had the honor of being his first confession. There's a moral behind that story. Never, never be late. Ephesians chapter 4 was read at the beginning. Would you turn with me there in your Bibles this morning? Page 977. Page 977, Ephesians 4. We've already read verses 11 through 16, but I'd like to focus on verses 15 and 16 this morning of Ephesians 4, page 977. We've come to the last question in the seven questions of spiritual theology. We've arrived. And it's fitting, I think, today of all days that God would time this to be this question on this particular day, because it's the theology of ecclesiology, the theology of the church. How do we move together? I'm talking again this morning, my audience is mostly believers. I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to the body of Christ, the church, this morning. That's who Paul is talking about too, here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. I'll read it. Would you follow along, please? Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Paul calls the church the whole body here. In verse 15, the Greek word for body is soma. It's kind of a general term. It's used many, many times throughout the scripture. Paul's not referring to a building. Please understand this. When he talks about the church, the body, he's not talking about a locale, a church located on the Ranchito Road, Loma Del Mar Road in the Ranchitos. Rather, he's talking about a group of people who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, who have believed it with all their hearts, who've been transformed by it. Have you? I can never stop asking that question enough. Have you heard the gospel, believed it with all your heart, every fiber of your soul, and is it transforming you moment by moment, day by day? We're talking about a group of people, as we've talked the last few weeks, who've been gripped by the new covenant of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who have been impacted through the Emmanuel agenda that God would come to be with us and live in us in the Holy Spirit, which is what we read several weeks ago in Acts chapter 2 that occurred for the first time on the day of Pentecost. Paul would say, as he talks about the church, he would say to Romans 16:5, greet the church in the house. Talking about people. He would write in Philemon, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. To Colossians 1:18, and he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, the people. I just happen to believe I'm a church guy at heart. I love the church. I love the local body of believers. I just love what I believe is the most phenomenal creation that God ever created on the face of the earth, other than creating us as human beings in His image, is that He created the body of Christ, the church. The organism and the organization of the church. What's an organism? An organism is a whole with interdependent parts likened to a living being. Now, that's just out of Webster's dictionary, basically, that definition. But it is so applicable to the definition of how the body of Christ works. Our text today here in Ephesians 4:15 and 16 describes the organism like this. The whole body, the organization, joined and held together by every joint, the organism, with which it is equipped, with each part, the organism, working properly. The organism of the church, what is it? Well, it's each individual person saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, as we talked months ago in the book of Galatians. Each person being uniquely gifted and equipped, as Paul talks about in verses 11 and following here in the text that was read earlier, with each one of these individuals and being an integral component that brings together their uniqueness into the body of Christ as a whole. Gary has a gift. Denise has a gift. John has a gift. Deirdre has a gift. Jim and Selena have gifts, and I could go through all of you this morning. All the members of the organization, the body, as organisms, I'm an organism, so are you, all of us at various stages in our relationship with God, some immature, some growing into maturity, some having reached some element of maturity in their life. All of the whole together forming the organization called the church, who gather regularly teaching, for prayer, for the breaking of bread, and for fellowship. And Paul is what was also read this morning, and the Holy Spirit just organized all that. I didn't tell John and Deirdre anything of what I was going to speak about this morning, other than what the title was for the most part. All of that Paul calls the working of the body. I wonder if you would join me in this big picture look that Paul gives us at both the organism and the organization of the church as a whole as he describes it. Would you read together with me in unison out loud? For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Let's be very, very clear here about the New Testament church. It's not a locale. It's a body of believers who regularly gather together because of one common factor, their love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The head of the body, the church, Colossians 1:18 says. Pastor Rich isn't the head of the church. The elders aren't the head of the church. The deacons aren't the head of the church. You know what? The congregation's not the head of the church in the organizational structure. It's Jesus Christ who's the head of the church. Now, let me make a personal observation after many years in ministry. Over the years, I've met many, many people who like to rail on the church, who like to criticize the church, people who love to seem to find fault in just about everything when it comes to concerning the church. I want to caution to you this morning about falling into that trap. And I caution you about falling into that trap about railing on the church, because when you criticize the church, the one that you're really criticizing is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who's the head of the church. Be very, very careful with your criticism about the body of Christ, the church. The church is founded. It's headed by Jesus Christ. It's loved by Jesus Christ. So realize that when you're criticizing the church, you're not criticizing the pastor. You're criticizing the one, the great shepherd who's over the pastor. When you criticize the elders and the deacons, you're not criticizing just the elders and deacons. You're criticizing the one who's over the elders and the deacons, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. No church is perfect. There's no perfect pastors. There's no perfect elders. There's no perfect deacons. There's no perfect building committees. There's no perfect constitution. There's no perfect organizational structure in the local body. Nothing is perfect. So that's the very reason why, because we're imperfect, that we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cover our imperfection. Yes. Without Christ, we're just imperfect, broken, sinful people who have no hope. But with the blood of Christ covering us, we are drawn up into the head of Jesus Christ, who is perfect, the one who covers us all. We all have flaws. I have flaws. Karen has flaws. Gary and Denise have flaws. We all have struggles. We all have spiritual battles going on inside of us and battles that are going on around us at all the times. And we need the help both from the Lord and from one another in the body of Christ to be the church that Jesus Christ has formed us, paid for, and bought and purchased and redeemed us to become. Praise God for the church, the blessed church. Well, that leads me to the seventh question this morning of spiritual theology today. How do we move together? How do we move together? Verse 16 says here in Ephesians, from whom Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, the question comes, how can we, who are the church, the body of Christ, who are on a spiritual journey, work together in each other's lives so that the whole body is growing up into the head, Jesus Christ, who is love of God, poured out, demonstrated for us? How can we move together? Well, we moved together starting with my own personal community with God. Well, Rich, isn't community plural? Yes, it is. But the plural is the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who is God? Question number one that we asked months ago. He's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are in relationship, three in one essence together. There's a dance going on in heaven. There's a relationship between the Father and the Son and the Father, between the two of them and the Spirit with them. There's a relationship, and you and I are called to move, first of all, as an individual, into that community with God, into the Trinity. It all begins, therefore, if I'm going to move together in the body of Christ, it begins with my own personal relationship with the community of the Trinity itself. And some questions come out of that. Questions like, am I personally engaged in some forms of spiritual disciplines where I'm sensing God's presence in my life? Spiritual disciplines, where His presence is often referred to as the bright morning of the soul, or His absence as the dark night of the soul. Well, how do I do these personal disciplines in this community with God? Well, it's intentionally, I'll say it again, intentionally drawing aside from the busyness and the chaoticness of this life, getting away from the distractions to a place with the Trinity of silence and solitude. Shutting off your iPhone and your notepad and your computer and your cell phone and getting away with God in His presence in an attitude of silence and listening. Jesus did this as a regular part of His life. Mark 1:35 says, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus departed. Departed where? Departed from the group, from where they had been sleeping. And He went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed. It's getting away from the distractions to enjoy the relationship that you have been given and invited into with the Trinity. Have you ever thought about that as enjoying the relationship with God? Are you enjoying your relationship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, the three in one? I'm pretty convinced that we can't be effective and we can't be very useful in the body as a whole if we're not working, first of all, on our community fellowship with the Trinity, personally. Our gifts won't be developed. Our character won't be refined and conformed to the image of Jesus if we're not intentional about getting away from the distractions and getting into a place where we can hear the voice of God as He's rejoicing over us, or we can hear, God, where are You? I'm not feeling You in the dark night of my soul at this moment. I had kind of a dark night last night in my soul. There was just a point where all of a sudden I had panic wash over me towards later in the day yesterday. And I shared some of it with Karen. We sat down last night and talked about it. And sure enough, this morning, God, as I got up and I've developed this discipline in my life, doesn't matter how tired I am, the alarm clock goes at 5:30 and most of the time my head's awake at 4 o'clock. And I get out of bed at some time in those hours and I get alone with the Lord, and sure enough this morning, just looking at some passages that God was throwing out there in front of me, all of a sudden I just felt the warmth of the glory of God coming over my soul this early this morning. You know, had I not gotten up and done that, and had I just gone to my computer and read
emails and Facebook and, you know, all that stuff you do, I'd still be in a panic mode. And instead, I'm in a great place of peace this morning. There's this intentionality of spiritual disciplines that we need to develop personally if we're really going to thrive in the body and move together as ligaments and joints growing up into the headship of Christ. But first it begins with me personally and with you personally. Your community with God and my community with God. It's the starting point for a body of believers, Paul says, growing together to become the whole in verse 15. Well, and once that's happening, and it needs to happen for every new believer who comes to Christ, then how do we move together? We move together by our community with other believers, our relationships together in the body of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 19, and 20, he said this, "Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." You see, the body, the church, will never grow up without each one of us intentionally investing in each other's lives. I got to tell you, walking in the door on Sunday morning, giving a hug or two, shaking a hand or two, kissing each other on the cheek and then walking out and not seeing each other again the whole rest of the week is not investing in each other's lives. Getting out of bed on Sunday morning or Saturday night and coming to church and spending an hour and a half or so in worship is not investing in each other's lives. We're talking about something much more deeply than that. Jesus said, if two of you agree. The Greek word there for agree means symphony. We experienced a symphony of music here this morning. Agree means symphony, means all playing from the same sheet of music. As a body, our common purpose is to glorify, to desire, to know, and to love God. We help each other do that as we intentionally develop both our spiritual disciplines and as we intentionally, willingly enter into people's lives and invest in them. And it's in those lives that we work together. In those friendships, we work together on spiritual direction and nurturing with each other. You say, well, Rich, what do you mean by that? Well, I've never invested in anybody's life that I first didn't have to listen to them and listen to their story and ask questions about their story as I listened to them. And then listen to the Holy Spirit at the same time as they're relating their story and as they're answering those questions and discerning what the Holy Spirit is teaching and guiding and directing as He's leading us in His movements as we work together. You see, what we're talking about this morning is becoming a spiritual community where we willingly enter into one another's lives. Oh, I'm not going there. That person's got too many problems. If I said that every time I turn around, I'd get out of the ministry. But if you see it as an opportunity of God to enjoy what the Holy Spirit's going to do in ministry in that person's life as we willingly enter in, no matter how big and messy it looks like. And sometimes, honestly, it's kind of like that politician's life that I started with. It's pretty messy at times. But the joy that comes as you willingly enter in and invest and invest and invest some more, and sometimes it's years and years and years of investment. And God does such great and wonderful thing. See, what we're talking about is becoming a spiritual community. where we enter into the battle for one another's souls. A place where we discern wisdom from foolishness, the scripture says, and we touch each other with grace and understanding, and we commit to stand by one another without rash hatred or bitter judgments of each other. It's where we stand with one another in those dark nights of the soul, when one doesn't sense their hearing from the Lord. But we're there with that person, being God's conduit and God's voice, speaking truth into that darkness of that person. We've learned something great this year. This has been a phenomenal season at San Carlos Community Church, partly because of what Gary and Denise have brought to us in that small group ministry. We've become convinced that this entering into one another's lives is more effective in small group ministry than anywhere else. Where a group, 4, 5, 6, 7 people get together on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, and they invest in one another's life, and they listen to the Holy Spirit, and they enter into one another's darkness and one another's joy, and they celebrate together, and they cry together, and they seek the Lord together, and they encourage and exhort and rebuke and correct one another and train each other so that they're all together becoming a whole, each ligament growing up into the head of Jesus Christ. Well, what's the goal of all this, Rich? Well, the goal, Paul says in Colossians 1, 28 and 29 is each one of us becoming mature in Christ. He says, in Him, Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with our wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And I like this next part. I almost left it off, and then I thought, no, this is what it's about. For this I toil, Paul says, struggling with all his energy, with energy that he powerfully works within me. Sometimes it takes a lot of energy. Sometimes it takes more energy than you think you possibly have. Sometimes it looks like there's no end in sight, but God gives grace in our weaknesses. But the goal, the vision, to grow up, mature into the headship of Jesus Christ. You know, as Karen and I leave here in a few weeks, this isn't my last day in the pulpit, by the way. I have 3 more Sundays. Praise the Lord. We still envision this for San Carlos Community Church. As we leave here and say goodbye, we still envision this. We pray that this body will continue to become a body like Paul describes in verses 15 and 16 that we began with in Ephesians. Speaking the truth in love. Growing up in every way into Him who's the head of Christ. The whole body continuing to be knit together, held together by every one of your giftings, every one of your love, every one of your devoted hearts towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards one another. Each one of you working properly, Paul says there in verse 16. Not improperly. Working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Well, that's the message for this morning. Moving together. Moving as one. Each one of you contributing to that movement because you're part of the symphony. You're all playing from the same sheet of music. You know, we've had the greatest joy, Karen and I'm talking about just the two of us at this very particular moment, of working side by side these last 2 years with two very, very wonderful people. Two people have blessed our lives personally. Two people have enriched us. We've met almost every week together for sometimes 3 and 4 hours to pray together for the church and seek the Lord together and discern His direction and wisdom. And it's with great a sense of both sadness and yet joy that we have to say goodbye to Gary and Denise today. But I want to say to the two of you, Gary and Denise, it's been the greatest privilege to have you here with us in San Carlos Community Church and with team as teammates in this ministry with Karen and I. Bless you for your joy and your faithfulness, your devotion, and your dedication to the Lord Jesus. Thanks for your openness. Thanks for your honesty to speak the truth in love. Thanks for asking hard questions when I didn't even like the questions. And that's an inside joke. But it was true. Thanks for making us better as a body because of your personal willingness and investment in us. And Gary, I'm going to invite you up here at this time.
As I look out over this group, there are many faces here, many friends, many conversations that Denise and I have had over the last two seasons that have been so rich and personally meaningful for us. Denise and I want to thank you so very much from the bottom of our hearts for allowing us to journey with you in this pursuit of Jesus. You have ministered to us in ways you can never imagine. And I, with Rich, would exhort you in this coming season to be a part of a small group. A small group where you can have conversations that matter, where you can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. May 2014 be a year where we as San Carlos Community Church go deeper with the Lord and deeper with one another. I would also encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to be a praying people of God. Maybe praying more than we ever have before as a church, individually and collectively. We are entering as a church into a very significant historical period of transition. And be ever mindful that there is an evil king out there who is bent on the destruction of this church. The scripture says he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need the Lord and we need one another more than any other time in the history of this church. And I don't say that for dramatic effect. I say that because that's what the Word of God says. That's what some of you who've been a part of this church so long have seen, that these pastoral transitions become a very important time. So thank you, San Carlos Community Church. Thank you so much for investing in us, Denise and me. Let us not weary in well-doing. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. We will never forget you. You will always be in our thoughts. We hope to come back. Maybe for a couple of weeks in the fall, maybe a couple of weeks in the winter. But we hope to come back. Can you do one more favor for us? You've done so many. Just one more favor. will you occasionally shoot up a prayer for Denise and me? As the Lord brings remembrance, because I know how it is, sometimes you kind of forget, unless you have a magnet on your refrigerator. Denise and I will be embarking on a new ministry venture next month, and we hope to be serving pastors and ministry leaders in a venture that we want to launch out into, that we feel the Lord's put on our heart to do. And so we want to see how that pans out in God's scheme of things. And so we seek your advocacy and intercession for us. Please, please, please pray for us. We so covet it. Again, my beloved brothers and sisters, thank you so much. I wish we had more time to spend with you individually. But I feel like Paul with the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. We may not see you again, but we will, won't we?